You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh Israel, 5784, 2024. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Veschanon. Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing his five-week speech, which exhorts the Jewish people in their relationship with Hashem. And of course, after Tisha B'Av, we start to think about and turn our direction towards Rosh Hashanah. We're getting closer to the day when we receive Hashem, accept Hashem as our King. And so that's part of the reason why our Chazal established that we would read this section of the Torah at this time of year. And Moshe is telling us about Tefillah, Vaschana Hashem. He wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael so badly, 515 prayers. And he tells us about the most important things in life. What is life about? What is the future of the Jewish people? How do we have a future? It's through our relationship with Hashem. It's through our continuing devotion to His mitzvahs, to fulfilling His commandments. I'd like to share with you a thought from the Medrash that speaks about the following pasuk. I'm going to give you a few pasukim before, so we get some context. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, don't add on and don't subtract from the Torah. Keep the Torah. Exactly, this is the guidebook for all generations. 3,300 years later, the Torah is equally as relevant as it was on the day that it was given. Don't add on, don't subtract, don't take on any other ideals. Don't look at the nations around you and try to be like them. Says the pasuk, you see what happened to those who started to go in the ways of the nations, started to worship idolatry. Those people were destroyed. This is in chapter 4, verse 4. And you, who hold on to God, when you hold on to Hashem, you know you're going to have life. Hashem is the source of life, you'll have life. Bear with me, two more pasukim before we get to the pasuk we're going to talk about. See that I have taught you laws and statutes that Hashem has commanded, l'asayis kei mekerav ha'aretz, that you are to do in the land, shartem boim shem l'rishta, which is interesting to note, the main place where the Torah is kept properly is in Eretz Yisrael, is in the land of Israel. U'shmartem asisem, and you will keep them, and you will do them. Kihichi chokhmaschem uvinaschem l'nei ha'amim. This is your wisdom and your intuition in the eyes of the nations. When everyone sees the great wisdom of Torah, great wisdom of the way, the Torah way of life, everyone will recognize that Asher Yishmon is Kol HaChukim HaEla, they'll hear about all of these statutes. It's not a coincidence that Islam and Christianity copies so much of the wise ways of the Torah. And they will say, this is an incredibly wise nation, this great nation. And here's where it comes to the pasuk we're going to talk about today. An amazing pasuk. Which great nation has God so close to them? Hashem Elokeinu, b'chol kareinu ilav. Like Hashem our God, in all of our calling out to Him. And the reason that before we get to the Medrash, I wanted to read all the pasukim leading up to it is because it's clear from the context that the way that we become close to Him, the way that we become worthy of God being close to us, and we're going to see it's not necessarily a natural state for God to be close to us, but the way that we get to that state is through our connection to Torah, because the Torah is the will of Hashem. It's a representation of what our relationship with God looks like. Which great nation, first, has Hashem so close to them, and second, has such great wisdom and such amazing statutes and laws? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, the Torah that I'm placing before you today, that I'm reminding you about in this 5-week speech that we're going to read between now and on through Rosh Hashanah, this Torah is the foundation of life. It's the foundation of your future, but it's also the foundation for you to get your prayers answered. What other nation has this kind of relationship with God that's guaranteed that Hashem will answer us whenever we call out, and as we're going to see, even when we don't even have a chance to call out, before we call out, Hashem answers our prayers. Let's learn this together. The Medrash says like this, Kini goy gadol v'goymer. Which great nation? The Medrash starts off with a halacha, a law. Halacha adam Yisrael shayakari es shema. Let's say you have a person, a Jewish person reads the Shema every single day. We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem our God, Hashem is one. And we have three paragraphs of the Shema. And the end of Shema speaks about Man Tizkeru. We're supposed to remember the whole Torah. And we're supposed to remember how Hashem took us out of Egypt. So the aspect of Shema is that we are dedicated to His commandments. And we remember how He took us out of Egypt. He redeemed us from the bondage of slavery. Says the Medrash, when a person says Shema, is it okay if you say the tefillah, the prayers, the 18 prayers or 19 blessings that we say, which express all of our needs, ask Hashem for all of our physical, spiritual needs? Is it okay if I say Shema and then later say the tefillah, the Shemona Esrei? Kach shanu chachomim. Says the Medrash, there are three things our sages say that you need to do them immediately, one after the other. Because clearly, the first step is an introductory step to the second step. Without that first step, you can't have the second step. And because they're so importantly connected, you have to have them one after another immediately. The first is that immediately after you do smicha, which is when you bring a korban. So one of the things that was done is that you place your hands upon the korban, upon the animal's head, and you're misvade, you admit to your sins. Immediately after you place your hands on the head of the animal has to be shechted, it has to be slaughtered, and brought as a sacrifice. Meaning, the essence of the korban is the fact that I'm admitting I've done something wrong. That animal is going in my place. Really, I should be the one to lose my life because of my sin, because of my disconnect to God. But the animal goes in my place. So with the recognition, the smicha, the vidui, immediately after that, the animal is slaughtered and brought. Immediately after we wash our hands, right, when we want to have hamotzi, when we want to eat bread, so we wash our hands, we're not supposed to have hafsik. We know we don't speak between netilas yadayim and eating bread. The idea is because the netilas yadayim, the washing of our hands, is a prerequisite. It shows a recognition of what we're about to do, of the chashivus of the bread, perhaps we could say, the fact that it belongs to God, the fact that Hashem is sustaining us, etc. Take up legula tefillah, a prerequisite for prayer. The thing that needs to be done immediately before prayer is that we need to remember the Exodus, and we need to say Shema. We need to reaffirm our commitment to God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He is our one. We have one God. We have to say Hashem Elokeinu. Speak about the Torah. This is the essence. You want to have your prayers answered. What does it look like? It looks like reaffirming my commitment to my relationship with God and remembering the kindness that God did for me in the past. The awesome, incredible salvation that He wrought for me. And then I pray and I ask for my needs. One has to come immediately after the other. You say Shema, and immediately after that you pray. At Shacharis, at Maariv, this is what we do. Somebody who does this, who indeed immediately after saying Shema and Gehula, immediately after that prays, what is the reward for such a person? Or we're going to speak about each of these different things. I'm a Rabba Baravo. Im samach v'shochat, yemuftach shekarban v'niskabel. If you do smicha on the animal, you place your hands on the animal's head, you admit to your sins, and immediately afterwards, the animal is slaughtered, brought as a korban, brought as a sacrifice, you know that your animal, the sacrifice, will be accepted by God. You know that your tshuva, your repentance, is accepted. When a person washes and then blesses, immediately afterwards makes the bracha on the bread, you can be assured that nothing bad will happen in the suda, in that meal that you're having. The Satan will not say anything negative about you. It's going to be a positive meal. It's going to be a productive meal. The food is going to get, it's going to sustain you. You're not going to get food poisoning, chas v'shalom, heaven forbid. Nothing's going to happen negative. The food will sustain you and help you to serve God, because you have recognized that that's what it's about. Says a Medrash, an amazing thing. When I speak of my connection to God, my commitment to God, I speak about the Exodus, and immediately afterwards I pray, I know for sure, I have a guarantee, says the Medrash, that my prayers will be answered. This is what it takes. Affirmation of my relationship with Hashem, recognition of His kindness, His salvation. We need to understand. But once you have those, your prayer that you're going to say after that is going to for sure be answered. We need to understand, what is the idea of the redemption? We can understand the commitment aspect, as we spoke about. The fact that I show my commitment to God, my relationship to God, to doing His mitzvahs. So then, I'm going to be answered. My prayers are going to be answered. But what is the idea of the fact that, if I mention Geula, the fact that Hashem redeemed me once, okay, we can say, a nice idea, it shows my akar zatai, my appreciation. But we're going to see something even deeper. When I speak about Geula and I speak about redemption, it does something more. Let's see. We're going to have a few, I don't want to call them tangents because they're related very much to what we're talking about. But before we get back to the answer to this question, hold on to this question. Why, when I mention the Exodus, why does that help me that my prayers be answered? That's the question we want to try to understand. He says an amazing thing. Understand the difference between who we are. We said, "Mi goy gadol," which other nation is so special, so has God so close to them? The Jewish people have a unique relationship with God. The idol worshippers are close, but far. The Jewish people are far but close. What does that mean? What does it mean that an idol worshipper, his idolatry, his idol is close? Right, an idolater, you know, he has his idol, he has his cross, he has his statue, he has his some item that he makes it. It's right there in front of him. It's very clear. He can touch it. Can touch what he thinks is the source of his salvation. Right? But the truth is that because of this misguided way of approaching the powers, or the power, the capital P, because of this, really, that even when the idolater calls out to God, he won't be answered. When the idolater sees, as we're going to see, the idolater sees that his getchke, his idol, is not answering him right away. So eventually, that person turns to God, ultimately. But the answer is not going to be forthcoming. But in our relationship, the Jewish people's relationship with God, God is far and near. It's the opposite. What does that mean? Kate said, Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, Mikan ba'al rakim ha'alach ha'mesh miyos shana, Rechik. Chazal express, our sages express, the distance that we experience between us and Hashem. Where is God? Ask any kid, they'll point up. God is far away. God is in the heaven. That's how it feels. God is, you know, distant. That's how it feels. 500, what's the language here? Mahala chamesh meis shana. The distance that it takes to walk, if you could walk for 500 years, that's how far away God feels or seems. In our experience, but the truth is that God is really close. God is so close. A person stands and he prays, and he has feelings in his heart. And Hashem is immediately available to answer his prayers. It's the opposite of what happens with an idol. The pasuk says in Tehillim, in Psalm chapter 65, verse 3, the one who hears prayers, all flesh will come to you. Omer David, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did King David mean when he said this verse? He said in front of God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kishi Umay Sa'olam Boim L'Spalafon HaHaltana, son. When the nations of the world come to pray to you, when the Arabs come to pray to you, when the Christians come to pray to you, when the Buddhists come to pray to you, when they all realize that their idol isn't working and they come to pray to you, don't answer their prayers. King David says, don't answer their prayers. She'ein ban ez lecha b'lev sholem. There's a huge difference between us and them. They don't come with a full heart. They're not fully committed to you. First they go to their idol. The idol doesn't answer them. Right? There are no atheists in a foxhole. The atheist tried all of his power, tried all of his might, and he still feels threatened. And finally he turns to God. But they don't turn to God immediately. That's not their first place to turn. That's not their knee-jerk. The knee-jerk place is an idol. King David says, also in Tehillim, chapter 18, verse 42, they will call out to God, but Hashem will not save them. First they call out, not to God, first they call out, and they're not saved by their own God. There's two parts to the verse. They will call out, no one will save them, to God, and they won't be answered. It's a double language, because the first calling out is to their idol. The second calling out is to Hashem. Hashem, please, says King David, don't answer them, because they're not sincere. They're stuck. Okay. What is the Jewish people? Israel is a language of Yashar Kel, straight to God. What is our knee-jerk reaction? The first thing that we do when we're in trouble is not turn to some idolatry. Miyad Shemat Vilaseinu. The first thing that we do is turn to Hashem. So answer us immediately. Shenemar Bekori Anini Lekei Tzidki. The Pasuk says, when I call you, answer me. The God of righteousness. God of my righteousness. Or like Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ma Amarta Bekori Anini. What did you say? When I call you, I answer me? Chayecha, I swear to you, by your life, says Hashem. He's saying this to King David. Before you even call me, Hashem says to King David, and King David obviously is the representative of all of the Jewish people. Before you even call out to me, your knee-jerk reaction is to call out to me. But before you even call out to me, you've already called out to me. That's who you are. The essence of who we are is straight to God. Yashar Kel, Yisrael. I'm gonna answer you even before you call out. Terem Yikro Bani Aneh, Pasuk says in Isaiah chapter 65:24, before you even call out, I'll answer your prayer. Sheini Umacher Salatem, I have no other nation besides for you. The Jewish people are unique. This special relationship. Like we said in the verse, which other great nation? Which nation has God so close to us? Like Hashem our God in all of our callings out to Him. Even in the verse itself, the indication is that Hashem is close to us before we even call out to Him. So it's an incredible thing. The Medrash is teaching us an unbelievable idea. And that is that Hashem is naturally close to us. It seems that He's far. It seems that He's so distant that it would take 500 years to get to Him. But He's not. He's so close. He's so close. And I want to read to you one more small piece. And the next piece in the Medrash. Medrash brings a pasuk. Because we haven't answered the question yet. If you remember, I said, why do we have to have Geula before Tefillah? Why do we have to have redemption? Why do we have to talk about redemption before we talk about Tefillah, before we pray? Why is that the prerequisite for prayer? And if we have that, we are guaranteed to be answered. So here's the secret. The next measure says, Yan Cha Hashem B'Yom Tzura. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Psalm chapter 20, verse 2. Yan Cha Hashem B'Yom Tzura. Hashem will answer you in the day of difficulty. You see, there's an incredible secret. The secret to redemption is the secret to answering all of our prayers. The secret of difficulty, right? Redemption means we're in a state of challenge, in a state of, we're slaves. We've been slaves forever, for 210 years in Egypt. We've been slaves all of our existence. We don't even know anything else. We're downtrodden. We're trampled. We're not allowed to protect ourselves. We're not allowed to stand up for our own honor. We're not allowed to fight back. Maybe we're allowed to try to stop missiles from shooting at us, but we're not allowed to hit back so that they stop once and for all. What a bizarre. What an embarrassment. Right? But it's Yancha Hashem Yemtzer. The chiddush here is, the amazing thing the Medrash is about to tell us is that when I have a difficulty, when I am downtrodden, when I face off with this difficulty, that's the source of my prayers being answered.
Says the Pasuk in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 in Yirmiyah. He says, the difficult times for Jacob, that's where we're saved. It's normally translated as, when there are difficult times for Jacob, we will be saved from them. But the correct translation is that the difficult times for Jacob bring about our salvation.
What does it mean when it says Yan Hashem Yem Sarah, Hashem will answer us in the day of difficulty? Rish Lakish tells us an incredible thing. And this is the secret to understanding how we can get our prayers answered. How do we have protection against our enemies? Where does it come? It comes in the moment when they're shooting at us, when they're trying to destroy us. It comes in that moment. In the moment when they're yelling pro Hamas statements, trying to hurt us, trying to beat us up in New York.
Reish Lakish says, look, what is this comparable to? He gives us an analogy. A woman who's about to give birth. She's in the throes of her chevle leida, of her birth pangs. She's in incredible pain.
The wise person stood by and prayed out loud and said to her, the one who answered your mother when she was giving birth to you, the God who answered you, your mother, when she was giving birth to you, may He answer you as well as you give birth to your child. Do you hear this? The Medrash is telling us something so deep, so beautiful. Your mother, when she gave birth to you, she went through so much pain and you came into the world. Her pain was your birth. That same God who brought you into the world through that pain is going to answer you in your pain as you give birth to your child. Remembering the Exodus is remembering the pain and the birth of our great-great-grandparents, which brought about our birth, which brought about our existence today, which brought about the receiving of the Torah and the relationship, the special relationship that we have with Hashem that's unparalleled in the entire world, amongst all of the nations. Don't forget, the pain that was experienced then brought about a redemption. The pain you're experiencing now, it's going to bring about a redemption. That's the purpose of the pain. It's not a destructive pain. It's a constructive pain. If I can remember that, that's what it means to remember Geula. It means I remember. I understand that the pain that I've experienced in the past brought me to a birth. This pain, Hashem, I'm saying, Hashem, I want this pain, this difficulty that I'm going through now to be a birth. To be constructive pain, not destructive pain.
Excuse me. I apologize for my voice. Baruch Hashem. I sang yesterday at a wedding. I sang 2 days ago for a day camp in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. My voice is tired. But this is the idea, my friends. Kach amar David Yisrael. This is what King David said to the people of Israel. Mishon el Yaakov, uyan eschem.
The one who answered Jacob. Jacob was the one who throughout his life he was chased after by his brother Esav. Excuse me. He ran to Aram, and he had to experience the terrible deeds of Lavan Arusha, who he married his daughters, and he had his son Yosef, who was lost for 22 years. He thought he was dead. All of the trials and tribulations of Jacob is Tzara Hili Yaakov Mimena Yivashaya. That's what King David is saying. The one who answered Jacob, which brought about births and redemptions and new levels of spirituality, the one who answered him, may he answer you. Yaakov acknowledged and recognized that Hashem had saved him, brought him through his challenges and through his troubles. And he got to the other side, he saw the new stage, the redemption that he experienced as a result of it. Moshe Rabbeinu, he spent his whole life praying for the Jewish people. Hashem said, I'm going to destroy them. Moshe says, please don't destroy them. But Moshe's like, I'm going now. What's going to be with them? And he prays, anytime that they have trouble, anytime that they have difficulty, please don't hurt them. Please answer their prayers. Let them be able to pray for themselves too. Miyad Hanei's son, answer them immediately.
Hashem says to Moses, I swear by your life, whenever they call me, I will answer them.
This is the message of the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu, of our Parsha. Hashem is there to answer us anytime we call out. Anytime we call out, He's always there to answer us. And what is the best way to pray? First talk about the Exodus. First talk about our relationship with Hashem, our commitment. But really talk about the fact that Hashem, you saved us then. We went through a difficult time and you saved us then. Please save us again. Let the difficulty be birth pains. Let it be the pain of a new beginning for us. Just as our great-great-grandparents experienced a new start in the salvation that they experienced from their pains, so may we also experience salvation in the same way, and a geula, a true redemption. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us, that we should be able to use the amazing tool of prayer, able to understand this message, be able to incorporate and recognize in our lives how all of the challenges, all the difficulties are sources for growth. Hashem should help us to turn around all of our troubles individually, nationally, and may Hashem answer all of our prayers. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.